excited for the latest episode of Empire Building. Here we are in beautiful, sunny Las Vegas.
Woo, woo, woo. Yes. Don't get to go outside.
Yeah. Family reunion. We are in a giant room with over 1,200 seats. And we're just so excited to be here. So welcome to Empire Building, the podcast where we talk about building big businesses and even bigger lives. I'm your co-host, Wendy Papazan, and I am an empire builder.
I'm Sarah Reynolds, and I am an empire builder.
I'm Kimber Lovett-Minkiti, and I am an empire builder.
I'm Tiffany Fikes, and I'm an empire builder.
And I'm Seychelle Van Poel, and I am an empire builder.
So this live episode is brought to you by Riz Media Premier. Riz Media Premier offers exclusive information and insights necessary to achieve unparalleled success in real estate. All KW attendees receive $100 off their annual membership when they go to rizmedia.com/premier and use coupon code RISFR24.
Whoop, 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 whoop.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Riz Media.
I know. Thanks, John. Yes. I thought I saw John earlier, so big shout out to John.
There's the code right up there.
Awesome. Woo. Let's do it.
So I'm having such a sort of surreal moment this week because 4 years ago at Keller Williams Family Reunion was the first time that an all-female rainmaking panel was had on the big stage.
First time.
I'll never forget it. Simon Sinek.
Thank you, Simon Sinek.
Probably had COVID.
Yep. At the time, we didn't know what it was. I remember the night before, the people running up to us saying, hey, you guys got to be on the big stage tomorrow. Simon Sinek's sick. And so we're going to talk about the podcast. And it was such a surreal moment. And we stood up there and we said our names and said, I am an empire builder. It was very, very special. Since that moment, so that was 4 years ago, since that moment, we have recorded over 200 podcasts, 200 podcast episodes. We have nearly a million downloads, and we have changed the landscape of female leaders. If you look at the same event 4 years ago compared to the event today, how many females are on stages? How many panels are representing female rainmakers, female leaders? And we are just so grateful to our listeners because of you guys is why we were able to do that. And we're all changing the world together.
I love that. And you know, that really allowed us to further the mission that the five of us and a few of our other founders have created, which is Her Best Life, right? And Her Best Life allows us to take what we do on the podcast and take it in person to each other with empowering the whole female leader. And that truly is, you know, for all five of us and our fellow co-founders, that is one of the most special things that we get to do because we get to pour into women on literally a daily, hourly basis to keep spreading the ripple, right? We know that when you pour into one woman, she turns around and pours into the next. And so for us, it's really special, not just through the podcast, but also through our organization with Her Best Life, to keep that ripple effect going because we know that doesn't just change business, that changes communities.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yep. Awesome. Okay, well, ladies, highlight so far from Family Reunion. What do you think?
Tony Robbins. I have to tell you guys, I have not been a Tony Robbins fan. Like, I've been sort of, like, anti it. Why is
walking
everyone
on fire?
Yeah, well, just more like, just the mind. Like, I was thinking it's, like, you know, just mindset and not very tactical. And, you know, ideas are praise, execution's worship. So I'm a big believer in executing. And he blew me away. I mean, the stat, 80% of, it's 80% is mindset, 20% is strategy. And you know, my big takeaway from that is I looked at our training at Empower Home and 80% is tactical slash strategy and only 20% is mindset. And so my big takeaway and action item from that is we've got to look at our training to make sure that we're matching that. It was phenomenal.
I love that. You know, I think outside of the amazing education we're getting, you know, there's that common phrase of like, sometimes you've got to hop on your plane to see some of your closest friends. Like, a privilege of being with this company as long as we have, this will be 20 years for me this year, is the relationships that this company has helped us develop. And I just feel so incredibly fortunate and blessed that like we have such incredible people as a part of this company that we've been able to spend time with. And so I just feel really like selfishly thankful for that, that we just have so many great people here that we've gotten to see this week.
Truly is a family. Oh, and I forgot to mention my kids.
You can forget. They were saving the best part for last.
What I love is you sort of move faster through your intro. Yeah. And so, and we thanked our listeners. And so, like, we'll let it pass.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But you do have an amazing kids.
They don't listen
kids.
To it, so it doesn't matter.
They don't listen. Yeah. They don't listen. They'll never know.
I think this Tony Robbins on the state, like energy was really, like we know that, right? But I realized the power of just the people that you surround yourself with and the ability to really, as leaders especially, make sure that we are aware, like our businesses are a mirror to us, our lives, our family, to where we need to like just take that opportunity to just show up, refill the bucket. And that's been what both the Empire Building community and the Her Best Life community have done, I know for me, and I know I hear it from so many of our both listeners and part of that HBL community, is it really helps like energize them so they can go back and pour into the communities that they lead.
Well, and I think watching him do it hurt was also really powerful. Yes.
Like, that's something women do.
No, like, we do that all the time.
Except we don't tell you. We don't tell you that we were hurt.
Yeah. No, like we do that all the time as leaders. And so like, I just think it was a good reminder. Like we're not the only one playing hurt. Yeah. And he was playing all out. Like that man was jumping on stage 3 days after surgery with no pain medicine. Like, and I know all of us have shown up like that. You know, you can't do that all the time, and you should not do that all the time, but there are moments when you are called to show up like that. And, like, he answered that call, and I know we do that as leaders sometimes, too. And so that was just a good, I was just in awe of how he showed up at his same level, hurt.
I also realized that I would really like to have a hype team go ahead of me.
I know.
Yeah, I want that in every room. Like, I walk into dinner and it's like, it's like, get excited, it's lasagna. Like, I want that real bad.
Totally.
No, our Duchess of Fun, Carissa Acker, sent us a message. It was like, we need dancers at Her Best Life. Yes. And I was like, yes, we do.
And like, I want smoke
machine. So we're taking
machine.
Applications. If anybody wants to be the dancers.
And look good with that.
And look good with sleeves.
Well, and just to be clear, we are recording on day two of, or whatever day we are. Mel Robbins is tomorrow.
So I know.
So don't like, we know that like, she will be a highlight. And we have not heard all of her nuggets yet. So if you're listening and you're like, what the heck? We are super pumped for Mel.
Cannot wait.
Well, I love seeing Cody Sanchez. I got to see her twice.
Yeah.
Once at the CEO Summit, and then they did a live recording of The One Thing, which I highly, highly recommend. Jay and Nikki did it with Cody, and I just love her, like, no-nonsense approach to finances, and she just makes this idea of being a business person, understanding financials, very sort of plain and easy, and I think a lot of, for a long time, people in the finance world have really kind of tried to make it separate from everyone else, and so I just loved her being really clear and easy about that, and she's also just funny, and yeah, so I thought she was really good, so, and then it's kind of cheating, but I love seeing my husband on stage. Yeah.
He's so smart.
He looks pretty cute up there.
I mean, what I love about Jay, and he's my friend as well, and all of ours, really, he is such a big amplifier of what we do.
He's
you know,
so
I was so nervous yesterday morning because I was teaching in a really big room, and there were some snafus in the morning that led to some rooms being a little bit delayed in getting people there. And he was backstage and I got off and I was like, I wasn't sure if that was good or not. And he just immediately, like, you rocked it. Like, I mean, just poured into me. And I'm just so blessed. We're so blessed with the people that we have in our lives. And so, yeah.
Well, I think about that too, of like, as a leader, who are you lifting up on the other side?
Yes.
You know, and I think he is such a great example of he leads big from the front, but he turns around immediately and pulls you with him. Yeah. And that's been such a great example for me of, like, you truly lift as you climb, right? And that has been something Jay has done consistently since I've known him almost 20 years. I mean, it's been a long time, and he's consistently done that the whole way through his growth journey. It's been really cool to see that. Well, I'm excited for us today because we had a bunch of questions.
I know, I love that.
That were submitted ahead of time.
Ask us anything.
And the fun part is y'all don't know all the questions that were submitted ahead of time.
Uh-oh.
And so I get to be closest to the basket. So I feel like I get to voluntell you on what you get to answer.
I like it.
I'm so excited.
Do you guys like this basket? Because we didn't have a bowl, we didn't have a basket.
So 5 minutes ago, we did not have anything.
Trying to track down a basket.
So I would like to apologize to the room that I stole this from.
We are resourceful.
We will return it.
I'm gonna return it.
We're gonna return it.
We're responsible.
Yeah, it's gonna come back.
It's, exactly,
I'm
we're
borrowing.
That's exactly right.
I'm borrowing. Okay, y'all ready?
We're ready,
so ready.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Okay. Ooh, okay. So this first one actually, Tiffany and Kimber, I think you should listen to this one, but feel free for anyone who wants to jump in.
I love the mystery.
I know, I'm like,
are you so excited about what you're gonna answer? Okay, so what do you do when mom guilt creeps in? I'm really struggling right now with the juggle between kids and personal life and work right now. And this question is actually from someone we lovingly call the great and powerful Roz. This is from Rosalind Luna. So Roz, shout out to you. So I'm curious, how do you deal with mom guilt? How do you juggle that?
I think it's so real, right? Like, I mean, especially right now because my youngest is 4, and while I love them all, but like the 4-year-old,
oh my goodness.
I know the big ones are fine, but the 4-year-old, right? Yeah. Like he's my whole heart. And so it is a lot of like, right? Like I'm flying out of here really early to get back mainly for him. And so I think one is in regular life, right? Really, and this I actually learned from the amazing Tiffany, was to think about leverage and where are the magic moments where you can really be present. So like the gift of one of Tiffany's comments to me was like, it doesn't matter who makes the food, it matters that you get to sit down and eat it with them. So I really looked at like in a day, where were the moments that I really wanted to be fully present and engaged and be able to really spend that quality time. And then be able to kind of release that, yeah, like he's, I think the guilt is so much more with us than it is with them. Like I will feel like so hard and he will, you know, like sit with me for a minute and then be like back off to his rocket ships. And so that was also part of it, was like knowing that they're good and that I've created those spaces to really lean into those moments.
Yeah, and I think if you're intentional about making the choice, I know like there's moments where you're trying to do it all and you're failing, or not failing, but you're just not succeeding at it all. But when you say, all right, when my kids were little, man, after nap time is when they're their best. And at like the end of the day is when they're the worst. And so like I prioritized after nap time and I didn't work from 1 to 3. And then I would go back to work at 3 to 7 or you know whatever for my night meetings and showings and things like that. And I mean like I put my phone in a drawer. Like my family was basically like, if something happens to me between 1 and 3, we can't get you on the phone. And I'm like, well, then I got a home phone. Cause like I was irresponsible with my cell phone. I could not be present with my kids and have my cell phone. So the cell phone went away for 2 hours so that I could be really, really good with them. And then I knew I had that time. And when I wasn't around a lot of the other time, I knew. Just like I fed them a really good protein breakfast and then I just didn't care about what they ate the rest of the day. You know, like they were getting one thing. And so as a mom, I was getting one thing. And that also, to your point, Kimber, like the leverage of you don't have to do it all. You cannot do it all. They do not care that you make their peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Also, they can make their own peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I've said that on the podcast before. Like at 6 years old, my kids were making their lunches because they can. But that felt like mom guilt too, because I should be. But the reality is that doesn't matter. And so decide what matters for you. And it looks different for all of us, what matters. So just decide what matters for you and have people around you to remind you to let the rest of it go.
Yeah. And Roz, I know you've got two girls, but as they're getting bigger, what I found too is that the 15-year-old, once I realized that I could take a little bit of my armor down with them as they were getting older and be real about the decisions we were making. And if we were having to make a choice that I wasn't going to be somewhere or that I was, that he, when I realized like, oh, when I actually started to tell them, hey, I'm going to be like coming in hot to your game, but it's because I'm like, I'm prioritizing this. I'm going to become, and he, it was like the gift that he was like, oh, like, thanks, mom. Like, I really, like, he got it. Yeah. And it was because I wasn't trying to juggle everything and hide from them that, like, I had it all under, that I could actually say, hey, I'm going to miss this one. And you, I, for Her Best Life event, I committed my, I have a freshman in high school, and so I committed to be at every single one of his freshman football games. And it was great. Like, I made that commitment to him. I made it really well known. I made it to my team. I made it really well known. And for Her Best Life event, I had to miss the first one. And so I went to him and said, bud, like, this is, you know how important this, like, these women are to me, and I'm going to, but I'm going to miss one of your games. And he was like, mom, you've been at all of them. It's good. Go have fun, right? But it was because I had made that really clear, and then I went in and had the honest conversation.
What I love about that, Kimber, what I love about that, Kimber, is it reminds me of one of the best things that George and I did was we actually sat down and said, what are the top three values that we want our kids to have when they're adults? And number one was faith, to have faith. Number two is to have a work ethic. And what I love about that is having open conversations with them then teaches them your decision-making, what led to that, and then shows them that you're working hard and you're making them a priority. And so I think that's brilliant to include them in the decision and include them in talking it through with them.
Well, and when there's periods where your pendulum has to swing, like when my kids were little and I needed to make a hire, we said, I mean little, they were like 5 and 7 probably. That's little. But we were like, all right, I've got to do this one thing for 30 days. And what are we going to do as a family when I succeed at this
goal?
Love that. And they decided they wanted an ice cream cake. And we were like, okay, I'm not going to be around for dessert probably for 30 days. And if at the end I have done this, then we're getting this ice cream cake and y'all get to pick it out and all that stuff. And so those kids were asking me every day how I was doing on my goal. You know, like it changed the conversation instead of where are you to, are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? Get after it, because we are in this, mom. Get after it.
Yeah, don't let me down.
That's right.
I need the ice cream. And what I'm hearing as a thread for both of you is you are teaching your team what your priorities are, which I think is really important in modeling. If you are a leader, you need to model that for them because you have to give your team permission to prioritize their family and their personal life as well. And so you're modeling that and teaching them, like, this is important to me. I expect you to help me protect my time. And I also expect you to protect your family time. And then you're turning around and teaching your kids, which is a gift I think all of us wish we had learned as children, right? Like, you're teaching them, like, this is how you do the thing,
yeah.
Right? This is how you do it. And that's a huge gift I think you're paying forward to your kids. Too, which is huge. Okay, so I have our next one. This one, Wendy and Sarah. Dun, dun, dun. This one is from, I would argue, one of our biggest fans. This is from Jenny Fan.
Jenny. It's built into her name.
It is. She really is. We're a big fan of hers, too.
That's
though.
Right. She's awesome.
Jenny Fan is awesome. Okay, it says, my husband and I are under contract on our second investment property. Way to go. That is awesome.
Yes.
Way to go, Jenny. That's incredible. What advice would you give when looking for tenants? And then I'm going to give you a second part to this. So you can think about both. What tactical advice or resources do you have for me?
Good tenants. Let's see, what do we look for in good tenants?
The first thing I look for is if they will do more than a year lease, they're my fave, okay? So 2 to 3 year leases, we've almost gotten them on all of our rental properties because we make it known that that's important to us. Because for me, time of relisting it, re-getting it on the market, all of that just takes away from other resources. And so for us, that's a big thing that we look for is long-term goals. And if they can stay in the home long-term, that's a better fit for
us. Yeah, absolutely. Well, and what you can do is just price it a little bit below market and you'll get more applicants. So we just tend to do that and look for good tenants that way. I mean, you know, we have criteria. You should have rental criteria. Everyone should have rental criteria.
You should have it written down.
You should have it written down.
You should follow it.
Yep. And so ours is, you know, they need to make 3 times the rent in terms of their income. You can't have more than 2 people per bedroom. No felonies. So yeah, just good tenants.
You have a credit score minimum, or?
We don't, because sometimes people who have bad credit make great tenants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Us
yeah.
too.
And they,
yep.
they will actually stay a little longer. So.
Yep.
Yeah. That's what we look for. Mm-hmm. Well, I send all of my tenants a holiday card always. And sometimes I go and, you know, when I do the walkthrough, it's on their fridge, which is kind of sweet. Just having a relationship with your tenants, I think, is important. And I manage all of our properties, so if you have a property manager, that probably doesn't work. But I usually sit down with my tenants, and I just walk them through the lease. And one of the things that we always put in the lease is if you'd like to purchase a property, you can break your lease at any time if you use us to buy your home.
Yep.
So mm-hmm. smart.
Yeah.
It's great.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yep.
Boom.
Yep. And one of the things I say to them is, hey, you know what? Thank you for paying my mortgage. I appreciate it. And someday, if you want to either become a landlord or start building wealth on your own, we'd love to help you with that. And I've helped many, many, many of my tenants.
I love it. I think the key for, I do not have a relationship with any of my tenants.
That's okay.
Well, no, I do on the commercial buildings.
That sounds great.
I know the business owners.
At least you mentioned your kids in the intro.
For me, I always try to put myself in everyone's shoes. And the thing that I would hate as a renter is if something breaks or something happens and then there's not speed in getting it repaired. And so we have one person that's part of our team that focuses on that. And then we also get a home warranty on every single rental property, and the tenant has the phone number. And so if something breaks, or if they can actually call and get it scheduled faster, and so, and let our team know about it as well. The other thing, and I think it's apartments.com, this is, I'm a little bit embarrassed, but it has an awesome like payment.
We use that as well.
Okay, payment yeah. system. For collecting rent mm-hmm. And then transferring it into your account?
They just hook their, they set it up through apartments.com, and then it just automatically withdraws the money.
Yes.
So they didn't even have to push it.
Yep.
And it's kind of cool because we actually have, I had an agent in my office who was really struggling and needed a place to live. And so I ended up putting him in one of my rental properties, and he very earnestly, he lived there for several years and was great. He ended up getting married and got back on his feet. He was living in a car in his car. Mm. And he very earnestly wanted me to, he wanted to pay back some of the rent that he owed me at the beginning because he was not able to afford rent. And so I set it up through apartments.com, and now I just withdraw $5 from his account every month. So it's going to be a long, long time paying back, but he is happy, I'm happy.
Is that on your passive income tracker?
Yeah, my $5.
$5.
Actually, it is. Straight to the bottom line cash flow, right
my,
there.
My Starbucks money. Yeah.
I love that. Well,
not
and like,
here, though. Not here.
Y'all mentioned, you mentioned keeping tenants long term, and one of the things we've discovered with keeping tenants long term is the first 6 months of any tenant being in a property, we call them, they're the most squeaky. It's like, eat, this doesn't work, eat, that doesn't work, eat, this isn't right, until they kind of settle in. And so if you have a tenant turning over every year, you get 6 months of squeak every year. Like, that sounds like a lot. Like, I don't want that much squeak. So for us, that's why we like the longer term tenant. The other hack we do is the first 60 days they're in the property, if they're maintaining a yard, we or someone on our team drives by the property, and I will call Nick from in front of the property, and Nick will then, because we have a property manager, Nick will let the property manager know, and he'll be like, hey, I just got a call from the city of Richardson, and the yard's not being maintained. It's me. I called from Richardson, where the rental was. But we just got a call from the city of Richardson. Seychelles just happened to be in the city. But it lets them know, like,
we got eyes on you, right? Like real quick and early. So it establishes that like you need to take care of your stuff. You need to take care of your commitments. But it happens a lot. So when we have new tenants moving in, I'm like, you're going to be squeaky, but I'm going to be squeaky too till we settle in this agreement. And then let's keep a long-term relationship.
I love when Seychelle drops her strategic amazingness of her brain. I mean, that's phenomenal. One other thing, if you own commercial buildings, so the name Empire Building came from Gary Keller, and it was a class he taught to business owners in Austin. That's the actual origination of the name. And so I've sort of taken that and help our tenants and teach our tenants on business. And because if you are pouring into them with their business, guess what? They get to keep paying rent.
Yeah.
They have income coming in, right? And so if you own commercial or want to own commercial, that's another little tip.
That is brilliant. I love that. Okay, this one is from Juliana Seeley. And this is for Sarah and Tiffany. Okay, so it says, was there a defining moment when you stopped being content with average and started striving for next level living? And what were the first steps you took to change?
We want to know the exact moment, date, time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
When did it happen?
4 p.m. on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when did you, and it could be for all of you too, I think it's a great question, like when...
Next level.
When was enough not enough?
Well, that's a different question.
Okay, when...
Yeah. But, you were like, wait.
Well, let's read it again. Read the exact question again.
Was there a defining moment when you stopped being content with an average life and started striving for next level living? And what were the first steps you took to change?
So the moment in time that pops into my mind... I was in college at UT, I was in film school, and I, over spring break, got hired on a show called Bands on the Run. I don't know if anybody remembers that show.
What was it?
Bands on the Run. It was like...
Bands on the Run.
Yeah, it was a reality show.
So awkward, nobody...
No, I know, we're like... It was a very little show.
You kind of want to be like... Yeah,
the Bands on the Run came to Austin, and they hired college students. It was MTV, and they hired us college students as PAs. And PA in the production world is like the bottom, the most bottom. And I got hired for 2 days, Monday and Tuesday. And then on Tuesday, they were like, can you AC tomorrow, assistant camera, which is basically the guy that, or the girl that winds the cord behind the camera. And they were like, can you do that for 2 days? And I was like, yeah, okay. And then the next time they were like, well, can you support the producer on Friday? And I was like, yeah, great, I've got 5 days of work, this is amazing. And then at the end of Friday, they were like, hey, we're going out and we're doing dinner at Ruth's Chris, can you come? And I was like, yeah, that's awesome. Like, and I thought it was like the whole production. And it wasn't. I showed up to Ruth's Chris and it was me and the MTV producers. And they basically offered me a job and said, quit and move to New York, quit school, move to New York, we wanna hire you immediately. And at that moment in time, I was just so like, I don't understand. I'm just like everybody else. Like, I'm literally just like everybody else. But that moment was when someone else called out the greatness in me or identified the greatness in me, where I was like, oh, I'm not like everybody else. I can do more, have more, create more. Like, I can rise to that. So I did not quit school because I'm also responsible and I felt like I needed to go to college. But that moment in time was kind of that somebody who called out the greatness in me, who saw it, shocked me to my very core, and I would say I made different decisions moving forward from there.
Do you remember what you ordered at Ruth's?
Oh, I've never been, I mean, that restaurant was so fancy.
That was like the epitome of fancy.
You know, I didn't even know you had to order the sides separate. Like, I'm used to like Texas Roadhouse where it all comes on the plate. So I just got one steak, I'm sure, and nothing else because I didn't know I had to order it separate.
I love that.
I think for me, I'm multiple moments are in my head right now. So I'm like,
probably
okay.
Probably when we met.
When you met?
I was like, we're talking 5 moments.
Exactly, right here.
I wasn't your moment?
I know.
I think two things in terms of definitely like passion for work. I mean, when I went to college, I didn't know what my major was going to be. School for me was never something that I really applied myself to. Like in high school, like senior year, I don't think I took my book back home at all. And so I just like made it through B's and C's and just like, it was fine. Go to college, hop around every month from one major to another. And then my sophomore year, the end of my sophomore year, I took my first business class. And oh my goodness, I fell in love with all things business. And that was sort of the moment that I realized my ministry, because I grew up in a pastor's home. So my dad's a pastor and didn't make a ton of money. And then also when you're in a pastor's home, you also see lots of leadership of nonprofits, of missions, of people around the world that are literally giving their lives for no profit at all. Like their whole careers is giving. Their entire career is giving, right? And they want to keep their income low. For me, God gifted me with the ability to make money. I know how to make a lot of money. And those ministries...
Like 36 million last year.
Yeah. Something like that.
Something
okay.
Like that.
And so
36 million!
I know. It's amazing.
Yeah. This is when she corrects me. The real number?
31.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think that's for five.
Okay. You're like, we'll take it.
I was like, well, I got to add the other businesses because that's
exactly.
Just real estate.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
36 might be right.
Yeah.
But, you know, those ministries can't survive without businesses making money. And so someone has to be called to make money for those to survive. And so for me, that was a big moment, which led to a big mission of mine, which is to one day be a reverse tither, which you live on 10% and give 90%. That's my life's sort of long-term goal. So that was a key moment for me. And just really a key moment of understanding my calling, right? You know, we talk a lot on the podcast about your strengths and how God made you so unique, right? Each person in the room is so unique. One in 94 millionth of a chance that they have the same 10 strengths as you in the same order. You're gifted, you're a gift. And so when you find how you're made uniquely, you are able to just, I mean, catapult your growth. And so for me, that was a critical moment in my life. The second was I became a realtor, started working with my mom. We needed to hire a buyer's agent. 3 years later, she had put me in charge at that point. I'm rushing through it, but hired my first buyer's agent. This woman was so amazing. So she was a young woman. I had seen her in the office multiple times, came to every class, really wanted to learn, would ask me about holding our open houses open. But for 2 years, she sold two homes. But she had the heart of service, right? And so I always look at the heart, right? And so I ended up interviewing her. She came on board. And in 6 months, she sold 24. With me. So 6 months later, she's on her way to vacation, go on vacation. And she sends me a text message. And she says, hey, I'm on my way to this vacation. And I can't go without telling you thank you. She said, you know, I would have gotten out of the industry if it weren't for you. Not only am I paying for this vacation with cash, I'm actually paying for my entire family to go with me. And the impact that you made on my life, I will never forget it. You have changed my world and kept me in an industry that I'm passionate about. And the impact that you've had on my life is just huge. And that was my first dose of my drug of choice, which is impacting people's lives.
The dopamine.
I have been addicted to it ever since.
Yes.
Highly addicted to it ever since. And so that was sort of my moment of realizing I was meant to team build. And so my passion is in team building. And I didn't know at the time until that moment that that was the avenue of making money for me was team building. And so those two things sort of go together.
I love that. Something I'm thinking about is when we did a retreat 4 years ago at Carissa's house, and Sue was there too, and a couple of other good friends, and we all were, I would say a lot of us were trying to figure out, we were like wrestling and kind of rumbling with life, at that moment, and several of us were kind of in a funk of trying to figure out where we were, and we did this exercise where we all were sitting around in sweatpants and pulled out a computer, and we set a timer, and we, like, let's say we started with Tiffany, we would all of us, there were 11 of us there, right? We all would shout out Tiffany's superpowers for 5 minutes, nonstop, no judgment, stream of consciousness, and like, I'm one of our two note takers at our retreat, so I'm like a cat, like, taking notes on it. But we did it, we went around the room for every single person for this amount of time, and because we'd all been friends for a really long time, some of the things that were being said, you could see their, like, kind of light bulb go off of like, whoa, like, you see that in me, or I'm hearing this phrase or this statement come up 6 or 7 times from you guys, because someone would say it and then 3 others would be like, yes, that, right? And it's actually like a little Word document that we have that I think on hard days, a lot of us go back and look at.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a great reminder for me of, like, we have the opportunity to be defining moments for other people. And it's on us, if we are fortunate enough to have a circle around us of supportive, strong females, to call out their greatness. And to not keep it a secret, because there's so many times that we're all going that we don't even realize, like, for your buyer's agent to turn around and tell you the impact that you had on them, like, that's just such a gift. That's such a gift. I mean, and you impacted her, but she totally changed your trajectory of leadership.
Absolutely.
With that. Yeah. Like, that is so, it's so cool. I love that.
Think about that word average. Like, I think so many times, like, we're striving against somebody else's expectations. Yeah. Of what we're perceived or what we think we're supposed to be or who we're supposed to be or what we're supposed to be doing. And one of the most powerful questions I've been sitting with over the last couple months is, what do you want? Not what do the boys need? What does the business need? What does Kimber want? And I think sometimes we think about average as this, like, bad thing, but, like, what do you want? Maybe it might be average to someone else, but in your world, it's allowing you to, like, chase that thing that is your superpower or your dream. And it looks different for every single one of us at the seasons of our lives. And I think I would really challenge that, right? That maybe it's okay to have average in one part of your life if you're striving in another. And it's okay not to have to strive in all of it. And for me, that's been one of the biggest gifts, right? There's a lot of striving professionally and with massive success. And that meant a lot of, like, other things that didn't get taken care of. And so optically, people might be like, oh, you're not striving over there as much anymore. But actually, I'm striving internally to be the best version of me. So think about, it's not about everybody else.
I love Tony Robbins has nothing on Kimber.
Yeah. I challenge your average.
Be average.
Be your average.
Yes. I love that. So I'm starting with Wendy on this one because she's one of our most avid readers. We're all readers, but I think you are the fastest, most avid one on our panel here. And this came from Veronica, which is, what book has impacted you the most?
Mm. Well, I think it's probably cheating to say the one thing.
Yeah. It's kind of incestuous.
But it's really true. You know, Jay researched that book for 5 years, and we've been living the book for 10 years since it's been published. So pretty much the whole time I've been in real estate. And prior to that, I think I was, actually my motto was variety is the spice of life. And I thought that I just thought that was fun, you know, to bounce around and do different things. And I'm good at a lot of different things. So that was really easy for me. And the one thing has really, gotten me to be very intentional with what's important to me. And if you can, you know, I'll just echo what Kimber said, which is if you can really understand what's important to you and not important to someone else or what you think you're supposed to do. And, you know, it's basically what Tony Robbins was saying yesterday, is if you can figure that out and you can chase that with joy and energy or whatever you want to call it, that focus, you know, that discipline is actually going to give you freedom.
So
So good.
You know, that discipline equals freedom. And so, yeah, I mean, when life is feeling crazy, I pick that book open. Sometimes I'll just read a chapter and it's almost like a meditating or something like that. So, yeah, for sure my favorite book.
Ooh, I didn't know you were coming to me.
Yeah,
you were like, wait a minute.
I didn't prep you on that, sorry.
I'm going to say this, but because it's the truth, and I want to preface it because it's truly the Bible. The Bible is a book, and for me, leadership.
The Bible is a book, is it?
It's actually 66 books.
Yeah,
it's
like
a compilation of books, yeah. Right? And I say it. Not as a pastor's kid, he would be so proud of me right now, but that's not why I'm saying it.
She's like, hi, Dad, I love you, I'm your favorite kid, right?
Why I'm saying is over the last probably year and a half, I have really studied leadership in the Bible, and the stories in there are just phenomenal. One recent one that I studied was when Moses' father-in-law came to him basically because he was overworking. He was taking on everything and said, you need to put leaders in place that can do basically 80% well. They're not going to be able to do all well. And he said, some can lead tens, some can lead hundreds, some can lead a thousands. And so you figure out who has the capacity and what they can lead, put them in place, and you should only handle the most important problems. So let your leaders handle the issues, bring the most important problems to you, and then focus on delegating as much as possible, and don't criticize them if they got 80% right. Because what I found myself doing was like, perfection's the enemy of progress. I say that a lot because I struggle with it, okay? A lot of people are always like, you say that a lot. I'm like, yes, because I struggle with perfection. And so before I understood this story and before I understood this advice, I was wanting it to be perfect. So they would come to me and they would say, okay, this is what I did. I would want to make it perfect based on my opinion. Now I'm listening to them and I said, do they get it 80% right? If it's 80%, I say, awesome job, go, right? I love that plan, go make it happen. And so it's just made even a bigger impact on my life recently. And so, yeah.
Oh my gosh, okay. Maybe I'm gonna do the one that I read most recently. I'll change it up a bit. I did just finish 10X is better than 2X, right? Yeah, and it is definitely, like I feel like I look to Wendy to tell me what to read and then give me the cliff notes or listen to it. I'm a big Audible, so I say read, but I mean listen.
Yeah.
And that's the same. So, but I think in that one, as somebody who has sort of like played comfortably, because I want to like, right, like it really expanded how I thought about like what would it mean to like push something and like just like take it to an extreme level and then actually then have to really focus on the things that really had the biggest impact. And I think so many times we're like, the whole principle of like, hey, a lot of times we might change 20%, right? As opposed to actually changing 80% and focusing on the 20% that actually got you the most results. And so from a business, from personally, I think it's been, yeah, just a huge idea of like thinking very differently about even just how you plan your year, how you're planning in your business personally, like what are the goals you have? And what if it actually meant you really got focused to that tighter, it is right, the one thing. What if you actually focused on the things that one gave you the most energy, that you enjoyed, that had the best result and return financially in your business, and then actually like got to try some new things on the other parts? Yeah.
Are you asking me?
Tiffany? Yeah, I'm.
Uh-huh. So, the biggest impact book that I've read in the last 10 years probably is Every Good Endeavor. And it introduced me to the concept of rest, which as an achiever and somebody who can just put their head down and make it happen, the concept of a cycle of rest being how we as humans function the best, and like we need to have breaks, we need to have hobbies, we need to have like a true cycle, which has taken me down a whole nother path of learning around identity and who was I created to be and what is really the role of business. And so Every Good Endeavor was the first book I read that really helped me be a better leader by teaching me to not do it all myself, but by understanding that I have There needs to be margin in your life. And I had never read a book about business that said there should be margin in your life. And so it was great.
I love that all five of us are sort of on that journey of what does that margin look like. And I love that you're calling that out. For me, the most impactful one is the book Fierce Conversations by Susan Scott.
I mean,
I truly believe communication creates or solves all problems, one way or the other. And so I truly did not understand how to have productive, tough conversations. And until I really understood how to have that, my life was stuck because I was either leaning in or shying away from conversations slowly and then suddenly one conversation at a time. And I actually think now, like, having the hard conversations is one of my superpowers, which 10 years ago would not have been the case. So that's been a really amazing book for me. I think it's made me a much more approachable leader because they know that I will call out the hard, but I'm going to say it with love and care and candor. Yeah. So that one's been a really good one for me.
I love that. We're pretty much out of time. So, I know, it's so sad, isn't
I know.
It?
This is why you have to listen.
I can't, we every will Monday. Continue.
But I have more questions.
I know. Yes.
I'm ready.
So, okay. We will do another episode with questions.
Yeah.
That will be our promise to you.
Because we appreciate that there were so many amazing questions.
Yeah. I know, you I'm like, I've got more.
And your questions really do inspire our episodes. So I think continue to send them in because you heard how long like we can go on each one of those topics is an episode. So,
so keep true. Sending
them in. Oh my gosh,
absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, guys, today's episode was incredible, informed by so many amazing questions from you, our incredible fans. And I don't know about you, but I'm just so excited for everyone in this giant studio audience to go out and build a big business and an even bigger life.
So we're going to end a little bit differently this episode, all right? Y'all remember, audience, what your job is? All
right. Absolutely.
One, two, three.